Going to be talking a little bit about priorities and patriotism today. How's that sound? Don't know where that could go, huh? How about we start with just the whole concept of patriotism? What does it mean to be a patriot? It means that you believe in your country, right? And that you really are willing to serve it, willing to love it and be loyal to it. I really think that, maybe you'd agree with me, maybe you wouldn't, that patriotism in America has taken a hit over the last 50 years. I think, you know, there's lots of reasons for that. I remember hearing about JFK. I really was too young to have known him. He died when I was just a very tiny baby. But I remember, of course, hearing the words that he was famous for, some of his sayings, like, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And I think about the national sentiment, the national tenor, if you will, that must have existed at that time for a president to be able to make a comment like that and have it resonate with the people. It meant that there was a high level of patriotism. That's what it meant. You know, America's changed. There's no doubt about it. Its people have changed. The national character has changed. The values have somewhat changed. And many people that are living here in America now are certainly not patriots. Some are. Some would still give their life for their country. Some still do. Amen? Yeah. But a lot of people don't prioritize country over self. I think that's really an accurate statement about a general statement of our country. Many people don't prioritize country over self any longer. Some do, some don't. But today, we're going to study a passage of Scripture, Jesus' own words, that are words of instruction to us, urging us to prioritize the kingdom of God, right? To love it and to be loyal to it, to value it, the kingdom of God, so highly that we would seek it first, above all things. And so, of course, the scripture that I'm going to read is in Matthew chapter 6, so grab your Bibles and turn there with me. We'll park there today. I'm going to start in verse 25, but our text is Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. But for context, let's go back and let's just read, starting in verse 25, Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." And here's our text. "But seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So, you know, living in our country, living in the United States, it's a little more difficult for us to grasp the principles that govern a kingdom because we live in a democracy. We elect our leaders, and then we expect them to enact our wishes. Hope springs eternal. But in a kingdom, the king is completely in charge of what goes on in that realm, in his kingdom. Nothing is permitted, nothing is allowed to go on in his kingdom that he does not sanction. He rules and reigns. The king rules and reigns over all. And a good king makes principles or rules, establishes them so that his people, the king's subjects, can live in peace and prosperity. That is the goal of a good king, providing and protecting his subjects, right? As long as they live as citizens of his kingdom, while indeed they are within the kingdom's boundaries, right? So here is where it gets interesting when we try to apply even the concept of an earthly kingdom to what Jesus was talking about when he was speaking about the kingdom of God, right? So we know that Jesus declared with his coming, it was his primary theme. He declared, you know, with his coming that the kingdom of God is now among you, right? The kingdom of God has come, but not physically yet. Not physically yet. That was the hard part. His reference to the kingdom of God as he was walking here upon the earth helps us to try to think differently about the kingdom of God, to realize that there's more to reality than what we can see with our normal human eyes. You know, the Apostle Paul, in his prayer for the Ephesians, he said, Lord, open the eyes of their heart, right? To be able to see. To see what? A spiritual reality that is transcending our physical, our material existence. We're talking about books. In his book, Wake the Dead, John Eldridge writes about this concept. He identifies how certain stories, books and movies, just resonate in our spirit when we hear the themes of them because of us being made for this spiritual kingdom. He says, you know, think about classics like Dorothy in the Land of Oz, right? Realizing she's not in Kansas anymore. Or he talks about Star Wars and how Luke discovers the Force, right? Something not seen, but obviously very real. In Lord of the Rings, when Frodo, you know, finds the ring and is introduced to a realm that normally he couldn't see before, right? And engages in a cosmic battle that he had never known even was going on before. So these stories, they resonate in our hearts because they remind us in our spirits of the reality of something beyond what we see with our physical eyes, right? They remind us that there's something more out there, something just as real as the things we can see with our physical eyes. Jesus said, such is the kingdom of God now, it is in your heart. That's where it takes place. Now, one day, it is very clear from Scripture that Jesus will set up his kingdom physically upon this earth when he will sit on its throne as its king. Amen? Yeah, but for now, he calls us to put him willingly on the throne of our heart. When we call upon Jesus as Savior and Lord, it's very clear, like from Colossians, where he says, I come and rescue you from the kingdom of darkness, and I spiritually transport you into the kingdom of my own, right? God's kingdom. So spiritually, we have already, accepting Christ as Savior and Lord, we've already been transported from Satan's power to the protection and provision of God in his kingdom. That was a good place for an amen. But the battle, we understand the battles still go on and will continue to go on as long as we're on this physical earth before Jesus comes back, right? And puts an end to the battle at the final battle, right? You've read the end of the story, right? Jesus literally will come back one day and establish his physical kingdom upon the earth. But because it is not yet that time, because his kingdom right now is not physical, you know, literal throne upon the physical earth, we need to willingly seek to live by his kingdom's principles. We need to willingly pledge our allegiance to him as our king, who physically is in another realm for now, right? But promises to come back one day to this one and, listen, and reward the faithful patriots for their service to the king. Am I right? Oh, there is a distinct possibility, just like in the case with Chet's mom, that we will die physically before he returns to this realm physically. In which case, we, like her, will be transported immediately to his presence, to the realm where he literally sits on the throne. We call it heaven, don't we? And then we'll receive the beginning, listen, the beginning of our rewards. That's where they'll begin, in the present heaven, right? Until he decides to come back and bring us with him, where we will be invited to rule and reign on the new earth with him forever. If we have sought first his kingdom and his righteousness now in this life, our life on earth. Our life on earth now, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, what does it mean? Practically. Well, here we are in a brand new year. And so, while many people, especially Christians, don't literally make resolutions, some do. But the concept is still one to think about, right? What is a resolution, a New Year's resolution in this case? Usually, in one way or another, we're saying we want to try to live somewhat differently, right? Usually what it means is that we want to put more priority on some things that we haven't in the past, right? Now, with the idea of a fresh start with a new calendar year, you know, we think about those things. And we think about what we want to change. That's not bad. Nothing wrong with that. Everything right with it. Usually what we do is we think about putting more value on important things, right, that we might have neglected. And we think about acting differently, living differently regarding these new areas of priority that maybe we have neglected before. And so we think about how to make them a priority in our lives, how to give them more attention, right? Being more diligent to focus on them and live in such a way as to live out these priorities that we're thinking about. Why? Why would we do that? It's because we perceive there are valuable benefits in doing so, right? I mean, that's really how we're made. We think, we reason. And so the choices we make, especially the changes that we want to make, we perceive benefits to doing things differently, to acting differently, to prioritize differently, to live out those priorities, you know, more and more diligently. We perceive that in doing so, there will be good things happen, right? Benefits. That's the way we're wired. God knows it too. He made us that way. So, we see how neglecting living like we should, you know, has resulted in not receiving those benefits as much. So we say, you know what? I want to change. I want to do the things that will enable me to receive those benefits. And I'm willing to live differently because I want them that much. See, that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. He was speaking of prioritizing something in our lives, specifically prioritizing the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And he tried to help us see the benefit of doing so both now and forever. The benefits both now and forever. He made it very clear that there are both, right? Benefits now and really eternal benefits. Huh. You know, I'm going to be 60 years old this year. And that number is bothering me more than any other has up till this date. And some of you maybe that are older are laughing and saying, but you know, it's all a matter of perspective, and it's all a matter, you know, of how you look at things, right? And you know, I was thinking about the fact that, the next 10 years are going to be important for me. So you think about how you want to change things or do things or whatever you want to accomplish in the next 10 years. And then in setting those goals up, you say, okay, this is what I have to do, right? Well, many of you, maybe that are younger, maybe much younger than I am, you know, you even should now be thinking about stuff like, hey, do I need to save for retirement, right? Because most people plan on, you know, not having to work for the rest of their lives, amen? Come on. You know, what you're thinking about is the prospects of living comfortably later, right? Yeah. You know, that's natural. But what Jesus is telling us is that, listen, I want to tell you about a future certainty that you must prepare for. Right? Just like we're thinking about retirement, preparing for it, Jesus is saying, I want to tell you about a future certainty that you must recognize as a certainty, and because it is, prepare for it now. Prepare for it now, the rest of your life. The certainty is the kingdom's full and final consummation, which will come at the end of this world, right? And will begin the full distribution of eternal rewards. Jesus called them treasures, right? Treasures that will be given to us based upon what, church? What will our rewards be based upon? Based upon how we lived after we came to know Christ, right? What we have done with such a great salvation, what we've done with what God has given us. Yeah. And when we take the time to think about how wonderful it will be to hear words like, well done, my good and faithful servant. When we think about how valuable eternal treasures, forever and ever treasures, forever and ever benefits, then we say, okay, I'm willing to live differently now than the world lives, because I'm looking at a different kingdom than the world looks at. Does that make sense? Well, let me ask you something. How good are you at practicing delayed self-gratification? I stink. You know, I definitely have felt subject to the I want it now mentality, right? Even though I know that that's not the smartest way to live, right? I mean, you know what I mean by delaying self-gratification. That is, doing things now that maybe bring some immediate benefits but promise bigger benefits later if you can keep doing those things, right? Can I ask you this? Those of you that are good at it, what's the key? What's the key at being good at delaying self-gratification for a bigger return later? What's the key? Seeing the value of those long-term benefits and perceiving, right, that they are greater than having the smaller benefits right now. Is that right? Yes, Herb. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Realizing, though, you know, you can realize that you can exercise patience if you can see that the benefits of doing so are greater, are great enough, right? So being strong enoughly motivated to do what's necessary now to achieve those results later. That's what we're talking about. And your level of motivation will depend upon how much you want those benefits, how much you're able to grasp them. And so this is what really the word that God put in my heart today is all about, how Jesus wants you to see the benefits of serving Him so strongly, so much, that you are willing to live the way He says we should live rather than the way the world lives. That's the message, right? We need to know how to live in order to bring those eternal benefits about. And by the way, just so we don't lose the point, it's not like there aren't immediate benefits now. It's just that, like they say, the best is yet to come. Yeah. So really, we need to see how to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And to do so, we need to be able to have put before us the joy, right? The joy of those benefits. And allow God's Spirit to speak into our lives in such a way that it drives us, motivates us, that we want to passionately pursue God's kingdom and His righteousness. And you know, as I always say, it all boils down to you and your relationship level with God. It really does. So while we were on vacation, you know, it's like kind of like how flies are attracted to honey. I could use a different metaphor, you understand, but I choose, since my wife was involved in this, to use honey as the attractor. I'm a smart man. So here we are, you know, on a short vacation, and while we're there, we are introduced to a couple from England. Great accent. And it was very nice to meet them, but it was very interesting to hear that this couple, who were about our age, you know, almost exactly your age, they both lost their spouses. And both then found each other and were remarried. So this is their marriage because both of their spouses had died. What was really evident, though, is that they both were not happy. And they looked like, you know, they're very compatible. They looked like that they were kind and giving to one another, sensitive to each other, you know, all that. But you could tell they were not happy. And we found out in talking to them quite a long time that it's because they were stuck. They were stuck not knowing what happened to their spouses because neither of them had any faith. Neither of them believed in God. And I want to tell you how clear this came to us as we would talk to them, you know, one night for over an hour, well over, and how it became so clear that without God, you know, in their lives, without the understanding of what we're talking about today, they were stuck, they were lost, they were just aimlessly kind of walking through their life now, in a new relationship, but not happy, really. And so Kim really took the initiative. She began to talk to them about needing God in their life. And it's as if she began to speak a foreign language. Did you ever have that happen when you shared Christ with somebody? It's as if you're, you know, can you understand the words coming out of my mouth? You know, it's like, the concept that we were trying to share with them, me too then, was the concept just eluded them completely. Why? Because they had never, and weren't even then, opening up their hearts and minds to the possibility that there could be a God. There could be a life after this one. Do you know how depressing it is, truly, you know, to be in a place where you think this is all there is and you don't have much left of it left? That's what that was them. That was the place they're in. This is all there is and we don't have much left. We lost the good thing in our life. I know, yeah, we found each other, that's a good thing, but you know what I'm saying? It was very interesting, this encounter with these people. But it brought home to me so vividly this key point that we live as Christians, certainly knowing the value of this life, but understanding even more certainly that this is not all there is, that there is a life thereafter, forever. Jesus came, talked about it, opened it up for us to receive the kingdom of heaven in its final consummation forever and ever, the goodness of God forever, knowing each other forever, loving each other forever, the benefits. Come on. Sometimes when you're younger, you don't think about this, right? But the benefits of entering into God's kingdom, the benefits of seeking it, the benefits of living it out, oh my goodness, through the roof, because of the goodness of God, the kingdom of God. What it means to seek it first is to prioritize it, right? To prioritize living in the will of God. The kingdom of God is where God's will is done. You know, remember I talked about the king and he makes the principles, the rules that his people may live in peace and prosperity. Yeah. So God sent Jesus to this world to tell us about those principles, to say, this is the way to live. If you want true peace and joy in your life now and forever, this is the way to live. And no, it's not the easiest way. Make that clear right up front, right? Jesus said it costs, right? But if you count the cost, you'll find it's more than worth it. More than worth it. But it means being willing, right? And then we think, oh, but what about all the pressures of this life right now, about the needs that we have, day-to-day needs that we have? Well, that's what Jesus was saying. He was saying, if you would prioritize my kingdom in your life, I'll take care of those needs. Isn't that what he said? I was reading about when the stock market crashed in 1929. J.C. Penney. Lost almost all of his material assets, and he became a worried, anxious man. It actually caused him to be physically ill, depressed. As a result, it was so bad, he was hospitalized. It was so bad that one night he thought he was dying. He woke up and he realized, I'm still alive, and he walked down the hospital corridor. And there in the hospital chapel, he heard singing, and you know what the song was? God will take care of you through every day or every way, right? He will take care of you. And the Spirit of God spoke into Mr. Penny's heart, sparked a hope. And he went into the chapel and prayed. And it says in his biography that that was the turning point of his life. Made a complete recovery from his illness, went on to build one of the most successful retail businesses in the entire United States. And he said, it was because I learned to heed Jesus' words, not to worry, but trust God. and to seek first His will, His kingdom, right? How many have ever read any of Charles Finney stuff? Finney is a cool guy. 1800s preacher, just a very spirit-filled, anointed man. He told a story. Now, I'm going to paraphrase it for the sake of both brevity and also his way of speaking back then was different than mine. So if I read it, it would be choppy. So can I just paraphrase it? So he tells his congregation this story. He says about a father, right? Many of you understand fathers, right? He goes to his sons. Now, Finney actually said to in Ohio. He went to his son in Ohio. That's a true story. This is in his autobiography. He says that in his sermon. He said that there, you know, in Ohio, he finds his son working himself to death on the farm, the little farm that he was trying to make a living by working at. And he said he had no help, no children. He was doing it all himself. And when he saw his son, right, he realized that his son's health was failing, was in jeopardy, because not sleeping, just working 18, 20 hours a day, trying to keep this farm going. And so he said, you know what I did? I called back to my wife and said, I won't be home when I said I was. I'm going to stay a few weeks here with my son. And what he did is he went to his son and he said, listen to me now carefully. You go to bed. You take care of your physical health. I'll take care of the farm until you recover. And Finney says, this is what Jesus was teaching us. That God would do, the Father God would do for us, right? In His Father's heart, He would look at us and say, listen, I know you need things to live by. I know you need things to live, right? Trust me in this. You take care of the most important thing, you know, just like the boy to take care, the young man had to take care of his health. You take care of the most important thing, and I'll take care of the rest. Do you get it? The most important thing, Jesus said, was seeking God's kingdom first, His righteousness first. And then all these things, right, will be added to you as well. I'll take care of the hay and wheat, this man said to his son. You take care of your health. So what does God say to us? Huh? God says, I'll take care of your provision. You focus on more important things, your eternal spiritual health, huh? Come on. And His righteousness, right? That's it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So when we seek God's righteousness, when we seek to make it a priority, what happens is that we practice righteous things. We practice doing that which is right. That's what righteousness is. It's not rocket science. When the kingdom of God becomes our priority, then righteousness becomes our practice. When the kingdom of God becomes our priority, then righteousness becomes our practice. Then all the way I conduct my life changes accordingly. Amen? So, the day we're leaving for vacation, my son text me, our grandson, middle grandson, Aiden, was taken to the Bedford Hospital. And because of what was going on in his life, they wanted to have him tested. And they did blood work and found that beyond a doubt that he had type 1 diabetes, and it rocked our world. His numbers were up in the 500s, and they rushed him to Pittsburgh to Children's Hospital, where he stayed the next 4 days. And his life has now changed. There's no doubt. It will change not only his life, but the life of his family, including Kim's and mine. Think about the changes that that young boy will have to bring about in his daily practice, right? In his daily practice, especially around food, right? How he will literally have to be constant and diligent in monitoring what he eats and the blood levels and the insulin levels that he must now take. And they know that they have to do this, right? It has now become a clear priority in order for him to live a good, normal life, which he can with diligence, right? So think about the illustration of this young boy in our family that now will change their daily practices, our daily practices, our eating habits, our exercise routine, his exercise regime, right? How now that there will be a new diligence to those proper daily practices. And it is a life and death thing. So now think about that illustration with now what we're talking about with our daily practices. How, if we could realize how important it is, right? How important it is for us to be diligent about living righteousness out daily, how we would alter our daily practices accordingly, that we would see the benefits, right? And understand that we would be a fool to not prioritize the things that God says are right. Huh. You know, time goes so quickly. And I heard somebody said that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The older you get, right? It's like the roll, right? The closer to the end, the faster it goes. Huh? You think about it, that works. It goes so quickly, you know, and how important it is to value every moment of every day and to not take it for granted and to live it in a way that truly represents right priorities in your life. You know, I really believe that Jesus, when he walked upon this earth, had an uncanny way of living in the moment. Can I speak to this? Remember the last verse of our scripture today, right? Who of you by worrying can add a single day, right? You know, he said that that sufficient is the day to the evil thereof, right? In other words, he was trying to say, don't worry about tomorrow, right? Do you know what I'm guilty of too? If I'm confessing, I might as well just put it all out there, right? What I'm guilty of too is, you know, thinking ahead and then worrying about that, and then what happens is I miss the moment now. Can you understand what I'm saying? And Jesus, at the end of this message, you know, after he told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, said, don't do that. Trust me, he said, you know, don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about tomorrow. You have enough to think about right here, right now, today. Live in the moment. Don't miss it. I believe Jesus was a happy camper. I really believe that he lived in his life in joy. I really, you know, I really believe that when he walked those roads with his disciples, buddy, I'm telling you what, they paid attention to stuff. They lived in that moment. They didn't worry about tomorrow. They extracted from every day, you know, all the beauty therein. And let me tell you, there's lots of beauty to extract in each and every day if we learn to not worry about tomorrow. Right? Jesus wasn't always looking anxiously ahead. He made the present moment count. And he tells us that that is the recipe for joy. It is. Jesus, for the joy set before him, right? As we wrap up here this morning, you know, as we conclude, this message today is a message of opportunity. And God is a God of opportunity, just like you said. He wants to bring opportunity into every day of your life. He wants to walk with you in those opportunities and point them out if you take the opportunity to be in tune with Him, to really understand that He's there with you, to really understand that He's there to lead and guide you in each moment of every day, that He's there to help you, and He's there to show you the benefits of living righteously. Kingdom living, that's what it is. That's what we're going to be talking about here in the next couple of weeks. Kingdom living, kingdom businesses that are devoted not just to the practice, but to understanding how to bring God into those practices. Kingdom living, understanding what it means to prioritize God in your life, no matter what you do or where you are. To wake up in the morning and the first thing that's on your mind is, Lord, what an opportunity to glorify you today, to do your will, to live in such a way that you smile. Both now and one day as you replay my life for me as I'm in your heaven, you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in to joy unspeakable and full of glory. Such is the kingdom of God. Such is the things that God has prepared for you. Eye has not seen, nor mind can see, right? Nor ear heard. The things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Let Him reveal those things to you. And let it be a driving force this year that causes you to prioritize Him first. And let Him, trust Him to take care of the rest. Amen.